Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, February 24th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome our friends from the Boys and Girls Club of the Wisconsin Rapids area. Looking forward to talking to Katie and Jess a little bit later. But right now, the only way for me to start the week is with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. If I could start every week, I would this way. I'm just going to be honest with everybody. We are here to talk about their winter production, Arsenic and Old Lace. We've got some great people with us from the cast and, of course, our director here with us. I'm going to go down the line, let you guys introduce yourselves and your character. We'll start off that way.
I'm Kim Nicholas, and my character is Aunt Martha Brewster.
Thanks for being here, Kim.
My name is Seth Habhager, and I am playing Jonathan Brewster.
Appreciate you flying in, Seth. Thank you.
And I'm Stephanie Hirth, the director.
Always good to see you, Steph. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate you guys and your time so much. And right out the gate, want to say I appreciate your time certainly coming in here today, but all the time that you have put into this to take out of your personal lives to do this, to entertain our community, it is not lost on any of us. We appreciate you. And looking forward to you guys having a great run. Show kicks off this week. I know it's not news to you guys, because I imagine you had your tech Saturday and tech days and stuff like that all building up to this. So before we dive into the characters and when you can check this out and rehearsal times and some of those things, Stephanie, I thought it might be a good idea, because I don't normally worry about this with a show like this. Arsenic and Old Lace is one of the more popular, bigger comedies of all time, really. Right. But there might be some people out there who are not familiar with this one. If you can give us a little bit of a cliff notes, and it's not because I have a test later.
Yeah, so it's a lot of stuff happening, but basically there's two sweet little old lady aunts who have been poisoning old men and burying them in the basement. You know, the usual.
We've all been.
Right. And so they have three nephews. One lives with them, and he thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt, and he helps them bury the bodies. They have a second nephew, Mortimer, who discovers that this has been happening, and that's kind of where the story kind of takes off from. And then we have our third character, Jonathan, who also has been murdering people, and then he comes back home because he's on the run because the last person he killed, his face is in the news, and so he wants to get another face. So he has a plastic surgeon who comes with him, and he changes his face, so he's on the run. And then Mortimer has a fiance, and he can't marry her because he thinks the family's crazy. There's just a lot. There's cops. There's all kind. There's just lots of stuff happening all the time.
Well done. Well done. I was trying to do a little homework on this one, and I couldn't really find any too much detail on it. But certainly, theater wise, this is one of the first real successful dark comedies in America. Going back, like vaudeville traditionally did some things here and there, but they kind of got away from that when they started doing, you know, your everyday theater. This one kind of brought back some of that. Mm-hmm. And then the movie itself was one of the first of its like to really kind of have people laughing at murder.
Right.
Like,
yes.
You know, which we do all the time now in one of the best shows on TV, and only murders in the building. I mean, but it's kind of cool to see that and so unique. And it's, you know, we were talking about this in the morning show a little bit about the normalization of some things. I refuse to let it be normal. A script that's been around this long and has been this is still this relevant, still this funny, still entertaining people. I find that to be amazing. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I've said that multiple times. Like, it's interesting how this show still stands and how this show still is funny and still has really, I mean, we're laughing all the time, whether we're supposed to be or not. But it's still, and the movie too is a classic. It's, yes, it's black and white, and some people are intimidated by that, but it's very similar to the script. There's different things a little bit, but it's still really, really funny. My nephews, I made them watch it, and they were laughing, and they're little kids, you know, so.
Speaking of intimidating of that, Steph, you've worked a lot. You've done so much in this area, and especially at WRCT and with HOPO and that, so this certainly isn't your first rodeo directing. But directing a play of this stature or anything like that, was there anything about that that, I don't know if intimidating is even the right word.
No, that's absolutely absolutely the correct word. When I wasn't even sure I wanted to be involved. I've loved the script since high school. Whether I was going to audition or not, I rewatched the movie, and then I was like, I love this show. But yes, it was very intimidating for the fact that it is so well known. It's very familiar to a lot of people. How much can I not change, but how much can I put myself into it as well, but also keeping it familiar and safe in a way that people, you know, hold on to something and they idolize it or they think of it in a specific way, and you don't want to change that, but you want to kind of make it your own as well.
Yeah, and everything I've heard, you've done that. Everything I've heard, you've done it. You found that balance.
Yeah,
and I cannot wait for this
once one. We started rehearsals, I didn't even think about it anymore. It just kind of became, I'm directing a play again, here we go, you know. But in the beginning, it was in my head too much.
Understandable. Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go down the line here, let you guys talk about your characters a little bit. And Kim, I'll start with you and your character.
Oh, gosh, I think Aunt Martha is probably a repressed spinster who has a codependent relationship with her older sister, Abby. You know, art imitates life, maybe. I don't know. But we're having great fun with that. I think Martha's just, she loves the dramatic because she doesn't get a lot of drama. So she's either killing old men with poison and making great elderberry wine recipes, or she's cooking. Those are her two passions, I guess.
They're the two sisters are such unique and wonderful, beautiful
they
characters.
Are, aren't they? Oh, thank you, dear.
It's nice. It's funny to me how, and I've talked with Seth and our audience about this a little bit. This is a movie that I've seen since I was literally like 5-6 years old. I've been watching this movie, and I rewatched it a little while ago. And when I rewatched it now, as a kid, I want to be Cary Grant. That's all my. That's all I'm focused on. That's what I want. All these things.
Right.
As I got older, I started to really appreciate the aunts so much more.
Yes.
The actresses are amazing. Most the actors in that movie, it's incredibly well cast. Mm-hmm. But those characters are so unique, and there are not enough roles like that for women in general.
No.
But this is something we say nowadays, and we see a lot of that. It getting better. It's not where we needed to be yet, but it's getting better. Right. Whereas this is an older script and something.
Right.
And so there was even less opportunities back then for that. So just to be able to do a part like that has got to mean something. Have you been having fun with this? It's been a while.
Are you referring to my age? Is that
not
where we're going here? Okay, because
all.
I like to point out I'm the oldest person in the room right now. And I did watch black and white TV as a child. So, I think that there's not a lot of roles for women unless you're really young and you're a supermodel. And so I love the fact that the author of this, you know, the playwright of this, cast these two lovely old ladies as the leads of the show. And it's funny, too, because I feel like almost everybody's a lead in the show.
Mm-hmm,
But they really do have a nice, juicy role that's just beyond what you would think of a sweet old lady, right? They're very empowered, as we would say today. But, it's been great fun, and I've loved every minute of it.
And I meant to ask beforehand, Kim, have you been on stage recently? Is this
this was terrifying. I would like to say, I'd like to point out, Seth is really terrifying in this. And every time, probably for the first, 6 weeks of rehearsal, every time he would do his role and he'd say, Aunt Martha, and I would just, my brain would freeze and then I would forget all my lines. So Seth, that is why I can't be cued in whenever you're talking, because I don't know, I'm very much in the moment when Seth is playing his role. I have now forgotten what the question is.
Doesn't matter.
What was it?
Doesn't matter. It was a great answer.
Yeah, I've been terrified the whole time. That's basically, I haven't done anything for probably 6 to 8 years. It was a very small thing that I did. And then it was like 20 years before that in high school when I played Nurse Kelly and Harvey. That's it.
Wow.
That is the extent of... You know, other than community theater when I was a child.
It's a great role, though, in Harvey. That's a great one. I bet you were great at that.
Oh. I barely remember.
I appreciate you sharing that, Kim, for a number of reasons. One, we certainly want to give you guys sellout crowds every single one of your nights throughout the whole run. We want to promote this show, promote local theater, promote the arts. But we always want to – we're recruiters, too.
Yeah.
We're recruiting right now. We want to get you out here, everybody. If you've ever thought about it, you're like Kim, maybe it's been a while since you've been on stage or anything, get back out there. Get on in there. And we will meet you there. We'll talk a little bit about auditions coming up, actually, a little bit later. Seth, your character, one of the more noteworthy ones, certainly in this show.
Well, I would say so. It's a role that ever since I found out that the original play starred Boris Karloff, which is an inside joke because the constant thing people say is that Jonathan looks like Boris Karloff. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to be in the movie. But it's a role that I thought it's funny. It's probably one of the more menacing roles, even though there's strangely has some goofy moments too, where he does have some comedy bits to it. But Jonathan is supposed to be very menacing throughout the whole thing, you know, scaring the bejeebers out of everyone because the way he looks, you know, his face has been cut a whole bunch of times with plastic surgery. part of the fun of the role isn't just Jonathan. It's his relationship with Dr. Einstein. And unfortunately, he's not here, but we have another first-timer at WRCT in Frank, who's playing Dr. Einstein. He's a recent transplant from your hometown, Chicago. That's where he came from. And he wanted, and he said he hasn't been, kind of like what Kim was talking about, he hasn't been in theater in 20 years. And he decided, you know, learn the area kind of thing, join the community theater.
And you'd never know it. You would never know that he has not been in theater for 20 years. He's so
doing a fabulous
funny.
Job.
He's so funny.
And the height difference between us is very good because I tower over him, so it makes the whole thing look good. But the role specifically for Jonathan, I just find it fun to be able to play a character that everyone is like a little bit sort of afraid of kind of thing because it's so different from the way I am normally. I think people – I mean, I'm a bigger person, but I hope I don't intimidate people like that. I really – you know, I don't try to.
You are one of the better tag team partners I've had in radio, though, and you prove it once again because you just teed me up for where I wanted to go next.
All right.
And this stems on a little bit of what you were saying too, Kim, in both of your answers. Kim, you were teasing a little bit that you have maybe some things in common with this character or not or what have you and everything. And Seth talking about how vastly different he is from the character he's playing, and this isn't the first time he's done that. The idea of doing this, and again, recruiting tool to the audience out there, if you think, oh, how could I ever play this kind of character or something? Getting the chance to play somebody very different than yourself is one of the great releases in life, and especially with the arts, as well as playing somebody who might be a little bit closer to you than not. It gives you a little bit more ability to get into the role, maybe a little bit smoother for some. And that, did you guys enjoy both these aspects, the things you had in common with your character and the things that you didn't? Did you enjoy that?
Well, I don't usually murder men or poison them, so I did not relate with that at all. I would like to make that very clear to the public.
We don't know.
You know, no, I think that there is she's very naive, and she has that kind of double blind of what she's doing. Like, I kind of really love her character, that she just thinks everything is solved with getting things ready in the kitchen, right? Every scene, she's like, well, it's time to get things ready in the kitchen. And I love that about her just blindness as to what is actually happening in her crazy that
I didn't plan on this being a radio audition, but you may be working for us soon, Kim. You're awesome. You're fantastic. You're doing great. Seth, how about for you doing this?
Well, I the thing I like about Jonathan is that, you know, he's obviously insane. You know, he's crazy. Even though he doesn't seem like it, he's killed 12 or 13 people, depending
13.
On the day.
Right,
12, dear.
So there's nothing, you know, that I think of as like, wow, is that part of me? The thing that I find interesting about him is that he basically is like, he just takes whatever he wants kind of thing. This is the way he's always been. You hear about his childhood and how he tormented Mortimer and tormented his aunts and everything. And he just kind of did thing, and it ends up with him making his face being completely unrecognizable. And he gets angry at everyone who says he looks like Boris Karloff. So to me, it's just fun. You know, they tell you, you know, when you have a role, even if it's the villain, make sure, you know, you're the hero in your own story, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way you have to approach a guy like this, because otherwise it would be like, well, what am I doing, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's the fun of playing something like Jonathan, is that you get to be just completely different from the way you normally would be.
Kind of a similar question for you, Steph. I do miss seeing you on the stage as an actor and everything. It was fun working, seeing you in Almost Maine and some stuff. It feels like it's been a while.
That was my last show.
It's been 10 years.
I was
just going to say, wow. Yeah, we got to get you back out there. But as a director, certainly we've noted this before, one of the founders of HOPO, you write and do plays all the time. The difference of writing and directing your own play and something that you've worked on like that and something like this, do you find things you enjoy and dislike about the whole process with the difference between those two?
And I guess this is probably, other than the other main stage show I directed, Curious Savage, all my other kids shows I've directed, those are the only two I've directed main stage, but other kids shows I've directed, typically I go towards the fractured fairy tale route a lot of the times, and those are fun just for the sense that they're very familiar characters, but they are completely thrown into different situations that normally wouldn't has never happened. So that freedom to kind of play with those worlds, but also kind of do whatever you want at the same time. Like, so there is a difference, definitely, said, like with this show specifically, how it is so well known, it is so recognizable. People know something from it, whether how I've heard of arsenic. What's the main thing people always seem to remember is Teddy running up the stairs yelling "Charge!" Like if you say that to someone, they're like, "Oh yeah, now I know what you're talking about." Yeah. So there's those very specific moments in the show that people are very familiar with. So you have to kind of keep it what people know, but also again, kind of throw your little twists and stuff on it. So I don't know if that answers your question, but the difference, like freedom versus, and like especially, I mean, it is different working with kids versus adults as well too, and Hope always such a time, like very like a week time versus you know, a couple months, and so that's that mentality. And sometimes feeling like when the shows are such a short amount of time, I feel like it's like high pressure the whole time. And this, something like this, it's kind of like, oh, I have time. And all of a sudden, oh no, here we are. So yeah, I almost feel like I have to have that constant pressure to remind myself that, yeah, there's...
We're speaking with the cast of Arsenic and Old Lace, and director Stephanie is here with us too. And Steph, we wanted to shout out some other people who aren't able to be with us today in the studio.
Yeah, so we have Don Jaminski is playing Abby Brewster, which is the other half of the Brewster sisters. Chris Williams is playing our Reverend Dr. Harper. Jeff Friday is Teddy Roosevelt, Teddy Brewster, but Teddy Roosevelt, you know. Wesley Floyd is Officer Brophy. Aaliyah Araro, I don't know how to say her name. Sorry. Okay, thank you, sorry. She is Officer Klein. We have Nicole Serwinski, who is Elaine Harper, which is the fiance of Mortimer. Mortimer is being played by Stephen Witt. Jesse Gildenzoff is playing Mr. Gibbs, a potential victim. We have Frank, who we said earlier, he is Dr. Einstein. Phil Hartley is playing Officer O'Hara. Dick Antonoja is our Lieutenant Rooney, and Corey Rouse is Mr. Witherspoon.
I want to shout out all of them. I want to shout out the whole cast, or the whole crew as well. Yes. Everybody working behind the scenes. So appreciate you so much. None of this happens without those great workers behind the scenes. And keep in mind, everybody, all of this is it's all based on volunteerism and people taking time out of their lives to just do this out of the passion, out of the fun of it and everything. When it comes to that part of it, guys, for the audience and people especially that are curious about giving this a shot and bringing more and more people down to WRCT, how did you find the rehearsal process? How did you manage with that? Did you enjoy it? Did you find it a time restraint or a lot? How did it go for you? And I'll start with you, Kim.
Well, I don't think that I knew how, you know, time extensive it was, but at the same time, it was between, rehearsals were between 6:30 and 8:30, so I was able to move my schedule around to accommodate that, and actually it was kind of nice to say, I'm done at 5:30, right? And because I have a job where, you know, I don't have set hours, so my hours could go all over the place, so I kind of worked around that, and I really kind of loved it.
Yeah.
So I think that my biggest thing was I wanted to get re-involved in the community again. And I thought this was a great way to meet people and just do something different than my normal career. So I think that was really like, I don't know, I think it made me more enriched or... I don't know how to explain that.
Oh, like, I think you have.
Do you know what I mean? When you do something. Yes. I think Stephanie and I were talking earlier and she said that getting out on the stage is like a feeling like you'll never, ever be able to recreate anyplace else because you're interacting with the audience, you're interacting with your character, and you're integrating the other members of the cast, and it's like magic. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I've really appreciated this opportunity.
Film and TV, commercials, all that stuff can be a lot of fun and everything, but it's so much more mechanical and kind of like stop, pause, stop, go. Theater is such a living organism. And it's such a dance between you and the audience. And it's one of the better dances you'll ever do. Kim, just as a side note, I am very, very appreciative that you took this chance and that you're doing this. Not only for the great example it is to our community and our audience and everything, but getting the chance to meet you and getting the chance to see you out there. Good on you for doing this.
Thanks.
You've already won. This is a great thing. You guys are going to have a great run. You're going to give this audience and this community a bunch of great laughs and everything. But people like yourself, Kim, you've already won. You've already accomplished like this. You're going to have a great time.
I am really, really looking forward to it.
Good. Yeah. Seth, how about for you?
Well, I think I've expounded a lot over the years.
Thank you for your time, Seth.
Yeah, and we're done. No.
Yeah.
But I think one for specifically for this one, it's like, you know, like we just kind of, there's nothing like it. It's the feeling of interacting with the audience. The reason I do any type of theater is because it's fun. The bottom line is it's fun. Is it a lot of work? You bet. You know, there's a lot of time. Like she was talking about, rehearsals take a lot of time. Learning your lines takes all that much more time. You know, you got
to
set time aside for that.
We have to learn our lines? Uh-oh.
Is that how that works? Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, we're not, we said that many times. You know, it's a time commitment for sure. But the payoff, meeting people, spending time, getting to know people on what we're doing it, and then putting it in front of an audience, excuse me, and getting that energy back and forth, the give and take with the audience, there's nothing at all like it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And every show, of course, goes a little differently. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, you feel like you've accomplished something. It's an amazing feeling when you're done. So but for me, that's the big part of it, is all of that.
Can I add something real quick?
Please.
So the first night that I tried out, I really didn't think I was going to get the role. But they called me. I was, like, shocked over it. Like, remember, Stephanie, yes. You called me. It was, like, 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, what? Okay. And then the first night that we met, I looked around the room thinking, I don't know hardly. I knew Phil Hartley, but I didn't really. And I knew you, Steph, but I didn't really know anybody. And I thought, by the time this is done, we are all going to be friends. Mm-hmm. And that is, I guess, if there is one thing, it's that's a better great. Answer than what I gave you earlier.
Oh, no. Both are good.
Yeah.
Both are good.
And that's how I feel. Like, we're all friends now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to kind of point on that, again, like we were talking earlier, I said, my high school drama teacher used to say, like, this is a high you can never duplicate. Especially with a comedy, you get that instant gratification when the audience is laughing at you. They're like, you, it just makes you feel like, mm-hmm. the best person and the greatest moment in your life. Like it's again, it's weirdly, it sounds like super, I don't know how, what, selfish or whatever, but it's like, it's just such a fun high. It's such a, it's a motivator. It makes you feel really good about yourself. Like it's a great feeling.
You really,
and yeah.
You really got to experience it to know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
I really do. Yep. Come on down and experience the show and then maybe come out and audition for Noises Off. The auditions are coming up March 10th and 11th. Mark that on your calendar, everybody. And be sure to meet us at WRCT for all these great main stage shows. And especially this one coming up. February 27th and 28th, 11, 7 o'clock show. March 1st, 11, 2 o'clock matinee. Coming back the next week with the same schedule. March 6th and 7th, 7 o'clock shows. March 8th, 2 o'clock matinee. Get your tickets at WRCtheater.org, WRCtheater.org. Have a great run, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.